Welcome back to another Edge Got In podcast. Thank you for pushing the pause button today to edge God in. Perhaps you have been edging God out these days. Well, this is your opportunity to begin again and to put your attention and your focus on what can I do in my life to edge God in more today than yesterday. Our mission here at Edge God In is to champion your human potential in Christ. One of our foundational verses is Galatians 5:1, which says, "It is for freedom that Christ has set you free. Stand firm and don't allow yourself to be burdened by the yoke of slavery." What is it that is enslaving you today? Today's topic is entitled, "Do Whatever He Tells You." And the learning objective, it's our intention that at the end of this podcast, you'll walk away and have learned 7 specific things that Jesus tells you to do for more inner peace and freedom. We're coming up on the celebration of July 4th. And so our topic is around freedom. Internal freedom. It is for freedom that Christ has set you free. Stand firm and don't allow yourself to be burdened by the yoke of slavery. What's that yoke of slavery for you today as you come to this podcast? There is something that's burdening you today. So bring that with you as you are taking a deeper dive into following Jesus' lead. He really just gives us the structure and the invitation to get unstuck in life. And really, where do we get stuck? We get stuck between our two ears. We are the landlord of our mind. Who are you giving free rent to today? Is it a person? Is it a circumstance? Perhaps it's a past pain that continually repeats same theme, different stage. What is it for you today that you are giving free rent to? The definition of stress that you'll often hear me use is that stress is the power you give to outside circumstance to define what you believe you're capable of handling successfully. Now, when we walk with Christ, in Christ, and have Him move and live and have His being in and through us, we know that all things become possible. And we start to experience being able to pick up the world like a child's toy, rather than being burdened by the shiny objects and trinkets we often grasp a hold of. Sometimes our biggest enemy is simply our need for control. Our need to control the behavior of others, our need to control our circumstance, our need to control our physical being, our body. We get frustrated when we can't control it. The spirit of control is constantly lurking around to take up residence between your two ears. And it becomes a problem when you link your need for control, as I was talking to a dear friend of mine this morning about, when you link your need for control to your sense of safety. In order for me to feel safe, I need to control this. What would you put in that blank? In order for me to feel connected, I need to be able to control that. Jesus meets us exactly where we're at and loves us enough not to leave us there. So He has specific invitations today for all of us to leave behind the things that are controlling us, that are robbing us of that inner peace and freedom that Jesus died to give us. "My peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. I do not give to you as the world gives," Jesus says. "It is for freedom that I have set you free. Stand firm and don't allow yourself to be burdened by the yoke of slavery." Be free. Freedom comes in that complete surrender of our need for control in order to feel safe and connected. Jesus, we trust in you. You take care of everything. Jesus, we trust in you. You take care of everything. Now, this doesn't mean that you just sit and do nothing by any means. In fact, he has a calling and specific behavior that he calls us into when we follow him. And it's tuning into that simple prayer of the great evangelist said, Billy Graham, Lord, make me who you want me to be. Take me, send me where you want me to go. That ultimate state of freedom of knowing that Jesus has plans for you. You are his ambassador. I am his ambassador. He desires to make his appeal through you. We get in trouble when we make it all about me, myself, and I. And the Lord, as he is, very gentle in coming into that self-focus, gives us another way. I was reading earlier this week and literally stopped in my tracks, and a verse that I had read quite a bit throughout my journey with the Lord since I was 17, James 3:16. That says, where you have envy and selfish ambition, you find disorder and every evil practice. Where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. Now, what's interesting, the following verse after that is all about wisdom. It's all about the wisdom from heaven is, first of all, pure, peace-loving, considerate, submissive, sincere. The opposite of envy and selfish ambition. Ask for it. The Lord desires to give us what we declare, particularly when it's found in the Holy Scriptures. Own it, declare it. Dear God, forgive me for being envious of what other people have, what I don't have. Forgive me for comparison, for my need for control, because I don't feel safe unless I have certain things or I'm in control of certain things. Dear God, have mercy upon me. Help me. Deliver me from selfish ambition, from that inner drive inside that often overrides the moments that could make a huge impact in the lives of people around me because I'm so focused on what I want, what I think, what I need. Give me the grace of surrender and help me to do what you tell me to do. Because I know if I do what you tell me to do, then I will witness firsthand miracles within my own life. Just as Mary said to the people at the wedding of Cana, do whatever he tells you. Help me, Lord, to listen and respond quicker today than yesterday. May the words of my mouth, meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight for the edification of every human being that's tuning into today's podcast, that they would walk away being a lighter version of themselves in you. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Do whatever he tells you. So this is our opening verse and our focus here. That's the title of today's podcast. And it's a very, very powerful scripture. Do whatever he tells you. John chapter 2, 1 through 11. First miracle to be recorded. On the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. So there's some thought that it was a family member, perhaps a cousin. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine, woman. Why do you involve me?" Now, the etymology of the word woman here was very endearing, the translation. He uses it four other times. Woman at the well, woman caught in adultery. So it's a very endearing word when he uses woman. It's not impersonal, as you might think at first glance. "Woman, why do you involve me?" Jesus replied. "My hour has not come." Has not come yet. His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Nearby stood six stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." There was no lag time, so they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet." They did so. No lag time. And the master of the banquet tasted the wine that had been turned, the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn it knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, "Everyone brings the choice wine first, then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink. But you have saved the best till now." What Jesus did here in Cana of Galilee was the first of the signs through which he revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. This is the foundational set of verses for today's podcast. Come with me on this. The first part, first three verses here in John chapter 2, 1 through 11. It's a very powerful conversation going on between Jesus and his mother. Jesus' mother simply unleashing the guidance, right? She plays a huge, powerful role all across the board. There's a prayer that someone shared with me a while ago that says, "No one who has ever asked for support in prayer from Mary has ever failed to receive it." Why? Because at the time, and this goes all the way back through the Old Testament, that the mother of the king was highly, highly esteemed, always. Throughout all of Scripture, the mother of the king, she had a special position. In fact, as you'll read throughout the Old Testament, many times the officials would go to the mother of the king when they had a request, knowing that if the mother agreed, then she would approach the king and the request would be granted. So there's no shocker here that this is playing out in a different scenario where Jesus and Jesus's mother, the mother of the king, tells the people around him, "Do whatever he tells you." And that invitation comes out to each one of us today. Do whatever he tells you. My coaching question to you: what is Jesus telling you? Perhaps it is around control. Is he inviting you to release a false belief? "I will feel safe if I know how this turns out, Lord." Really? How about if you master feeling safe, whether or not it turns out the way you want it to or not? That's true freedom. Jesus is always going for the authentic freedom within our souls. Sometimes, most of the time, we don't even know how to ask for that. Do whatever he tells you. And as a result of that, shazam, first miracle takes place. So let's take a little skim through the Gospels, through a few, and this is a few. As I was putting this together, I started with five, and then I went to seven, and then I went to nine. I'm like, okay, I got to put a cap on this. Because Jesus tells us a lot throughout the four Gospels. The key question to ask ourselves is, are we listening? Or are we following the way of our own selfish ambition, which is where we find disorder in every evil practice? Just that one scripture from James 3:16 is so powerful to contemplate. Where are you envious in your life? Are you comparing yourself? Are you jealous of someone? Do you feel that someone else has something that you feel you need in order to feel that you're enough? That's part of envy, selfish ambition. There are endless expressions of selfish ambition. It's basically putting your own needs above the needs of those people entrusted to your care. And it is basically based on a deep fear that you're not going to be okay if you don't get something. So you become self-focused. I become self-focused. And we start to manipulate. We start to storytell. We start to mind read. We start to create our own dramas. And Jesus wants to deliver us from all of that today. So as I'm reading through these nine things, I invite you, the listener, to be highly attentive. Ask the Holy Spirit, which one do you want to speak to me about? And what do you want to tell me to do as a result of the different scriptures that will stand out to me today? Let's jump in. First one, Jesus tells us not to worry. Ooh, that's a good one. When was the last time you worried? Oh, about 30 seconds ago. Worry is a slippery little serpent, my friends, that slithers in between the two ears and robs your peace quicker than poop through a goose, as my grandfather would say. Are you worrying? Worrying and anxiety walk hand in hand. Worry is a faith crisis. It's feeling as if things are not going to turn out, that God does not have your back. And believe me, I say this with much profound compassion. Because when I went through advanced cancer and divorce, I had those dark night of the soul experiences where I worried deeply that I was going to die and leave my three children. I worried deeply about how was I going to pay the bills. I worried deeply about, are they going to find more cancer, and on and on and on. What is it for you? Toss those worries into the lap of Christ. Luke 12:34 says, therefore I tell you, okay, so this is linked to do whatever he tells you. So he's reiterating that. Therefore I tell you not to worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. So that's a command. Remember in John 2, 1 through 11, how we set this up. Mary says, hey, do whatever he tells you. She still says that, by the way. Do whatever my son tells you to do. And do it quickly. Because let's look metaphorically at what is the ramifications of doing what Jesus tells you to do. Things that you cannot even comprehend, miracles, things will happen. You will drop beliefs, stressors, anxieties that you used to carry with you your whole life. And when you are attentive to doing what Jesus tells you to do and you practice it and you invite the Holy Spirit to transform your mind, then your water will be turned to wine, metaphorically speaking. Saving the best until last. Secondly, Jesus says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. After a healing, Jesus would often tell the person who was healed, go in peace. Your faith has saved you. Luke 7:50, Luke 4:48, two examples there. Go in peace. Your faith has saved you. So he tells us, come to me, all who labor and are heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. Come to me is what he's telling you today. Are you burdened? Are you in need of rest? Come to him in faith. He tells us the importance of faith by reiterating this several times. Not only come to him for you to have relief from a burden. So perhaps you're coming today with a burden and Jesus is telling you, come to me, inviting you. Go in peace. Your faith has saved you. So come with faith because that's what saves you. That's what he tells us. He also tells us this one, and this is a tough one, particularly these days, Luke 6, 27 through 28, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you, be merciful, just as the Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. This is all about, this conversation right here is all about forgiving. The measure you use will be measured to you. Where do you stand on that today, my brother and sister in Christ? How are you doing with that? How are you doing with identifying the people in your life that you are still holding a grudge against? Oftentimes in these podcasts, we offer you specific tools or homework to practice the lessons that we're teaching. For this one, I invite you to write down on a blank piece of paper the names of people that you are still giving free rent to. You're still giving power to define your worth, value, and capability. You have still withheld some form of and level of forgiveness. Just write down the names of the people that you're still holding on to, haven't fully forgiven yet. And after you've done that, simply put each one of their names one at a time in this prayer. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I choose to forgive. And then put the name of the person in there for, and then you specifically say for what. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I choose to forgive so-and-so for this. And after you're done doing that with the list, simply pray a prayer to the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I invite you in to fill up the places vacated by the lack of forgiveness that I've been holding on to. And I pray that you would replace that with your presence and peace. It's amazing the freedom that you'll experience just from that small activity of going through each name and plugging it into that statement. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I forgive, put the name in for, put specifically what it is you're forgiving them for. And then inviting the Holy Spirit to fill up the places vacated by that release. It's a very powerful exercise to be unbound from lack of forgiveness. Luke says in 6:27-28, love your enemies. Ask for the help to do that, my friends, because it takes divine intervention in many cases. Dear God, help me to have the grace to love my enemies, to do good to those who hate me, to bless those who curse me. This is a tough one, Lord, and I need your intervention. Help me to pray for those who mistreat me, to be merciful just as you are merciful. Give me the grace, dear God, and I know it's a grace, not to judge, and help me not to condemn. Help me to forgive as you have forgiven me. Then we move on to another thing that Jesus tells us to do, give. So not only are we called to forgive, we're called to give. And what's very interesting about this is this conversation, there's no lag time between the two. So as Jesus is speaking about forgiveness and the importance of forgiveness and forgiving and giving and forgiving, and you will be forgiven, he goes right into, there's no lag time. He's talking about not judging in verse 37. Luke 6:37 goes right into 38, give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be poured into your lap. For in the measure you use, it will be measured to you. This is a very interesting placement of this. It's connected to judgment. When you give forgiveness, when you offer forgiveness, it's in Jesus' prayer, forgive, you will be forgiven. The measure you use is measured to you. So when you give generously, mercy, kindness, forgiveness, particularly when it's not deserved, because Jesus speaks about that too. Even the demons are kind to people who are kind to them, right? Those people that are following in the shadows in the world. So this requires that divine intervention. Give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken over, running into your lap. Think about the time in your life when you had a difficult time forgiving someone. And perhaps you've witnessed it rather than something in your own life. Think about a time when you've witnessed forgiveness. Somebody forgave someone of something that you thought was unforgivable and they chose to forgive. We've seen it before. We've seen it publicly before. We've seen parents forgive perpetrators for killing their child publicly. Who does that? How do they do that? I don't know. I've never been in that situation. I do know one thing. God tells me to do that. Jesus tells me to do that. So going back to what Mary said, do whatever he tells you. Do whatever he tells you. If you're lacking in this area, ask for the grace so it can be running over into your lap, so that you can use a big measure. Ask the Lord to sift you. If you're not sure, invite the Holy Spirit. Lord, who am I harboring resentment toward in my life? Show me, give me a face. Who have I not forgiven and released? Show me, Lord, because I want my colors to be clear when I stand before you, because I know you told me that I will be judged the same way I'm judging others. This is an incredible summer journey. an incredible time to do this as well. A time of refreshment, of growth, of warmth in our life. Forgive. What else does Jesus tell us to do? Luke 9:13. You give them something to eat. I love this. I love this invitation. Here we have the disciples, tons of people, around 5,000 to be exact. There's only, and that's the men, not even counting women and children. They're realizing that Jesus has been teaching a long time. The people are tired, and they go to Jesus to say, they've seen enough miracles to know where to go, right? So they go right to Jesus, and they're like, hey, these people are hungry. They need something to eat. What does Jesus do? This is what he's doing to us all the time, my friends. He guides them back to themselves so that they can encounter within themselves the strength of innovation to bring what they have and watch God multiply it. This is a lesson he constantly invites us to do. Bring what you have and watch me multiply it. You give them something to eat, Jesus says. And they answered, we only have 5 loaves and 2 fish. We only have 5 loaves and 2 fish. What is Jesus asking you to do today? And what is your response? You give them something to eat. You do something about this. Perhaps you've been praying for something or praying about something, and Jesus responds to you. You take action. You give them something to eat. And our response often is from a place of lack and scarcity. I have nothing. I've tried everything. Believe me, I've definitely thrown an incredible pity party, invited a bunch of people, me, myself, and I, many times when I was going through advanced cancer and divorce. And I've mentioned this in other podcasts. I was so good at it. I wrote an article that's out there. You can Google it, Lauren E. Miller. 8 ways to throw a successful pity party. If you're going to throw one, it might as well be a good one. So they say, we only have 5 loaves and 2 fish. Great, bring it. I love how Jesus is not even sucked into victimization. Same thing with the man at Bethesda. I've been here 38 years, but every time I want to jump in the pool, someone jumps in front of me. Jesus will not play that game. He won't bite, my friends. Believe me, I've tried. What he does lean into is that humble, authentic gift of you, of what you do have. What do you have? Well, I have this. Bring it. Let's multiply it. Watch the power of God in your life. So perhaps that's what Jesus is telling you today. Bring what you have, and let's do some mighty work. Another thing Jesus tells us to do, John 14:1-4, do not let your hearts be troubled. I love the theme of not being anxious. Don't be anxious about tomorrow. Don't worry. That's what we read about is another thing that he told us not to do. Don't worry. Now he's telling us in John 14:1-4, don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go, which he did, and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. Jesus is telling you, he's telling me today, I will come back. Are you ready? If Jesus came back tomorrow, what would you be doing today? It's a powerful thought to bring with you daily. If I know that Jesus is coming back tomorrow, what do I want to make sure I'm doing today? I will come back. And I will also take you to be with me so that you may also be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going. So here we see Jesus saying a couple different things. One, don't let your hearts be troubled. Why? Trust in God. God has prepared a place for you, a house with many rooms. And Jesus tells us he will come back to get you. He loves his children, his sheep. He's the good shepherd. How do you want to shift your behavior knowing that? That he's got your back. You can trust in him. Don't let your hearts be troubled. What do you want to let go of today in order to make more room for that trust in God? Well, I want to let go of my lack of trust. Great. Ask the Holy Spirit to show you what that's going to look like in your life. What's the behavior that is showing up in your life that is linked to lack of trust in God? Start there. Well, I micromanage and I have to control everything because I'm afraid God really doesn't have my back. Great. It's great eye noticing. What do you want to do about that? Moving forward to make more room to trust God, to expand the gap between what's happening outside of you and your choice of response to the situation so you're not hijacked by something outside of you. And last but not least, John 15:5, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. What is Jesus asking us to do in John 15? It's repeated over 7 times. Remain. Remain in him. That's what makes all this possible. When you remain in Jesus, you're able to trust in God more profoundly. When you remain in Jesus, then you're able to bring what you have with confidence that God will multiply it. When you remain with Jesus, it's easier to give because you know that he will never be outdone in generosity. God will never be outdone in generosity. In the Old Testament, in fact, it says, test me. So one place where God actually invites us to test him. Test me in this. You give the first fruits of your time, of your treasure, and test me. And I have to say, I'm guilty of that. I have tested God. I've given more than at times than I thought I would be able to do and still be able to pay the bills. And not once have I been left empty-handed. I've also tested him in the area of giving him the first fruits of my day. Rather than jumping on my phone or jumping into my to-do list, particularly on very busy days. Mother Teresa was asked this before. When you have a very busy day, do you shorten your time praying? And she said, no, I increase it by an hour. Because I know that she knew the same thing. God will never be outdone in generosity. So when you remain in Jesus, you're able to have that faith. You're able to love your enemies, do good to those who persecute you. You're able to allow your faith to lead you in life rather than fear. When you remain with Jesus, you're also able to turn to him quickly. He'll be your first go-to. My question to you today is, when you're stressed out and anxious, where do you go first? Is it a good friend? Do you call your a family member, colleague? I mean, there's so many dynamics involved with this, because if it's something that you're feeling insecure about, you're going to want to look for validation, right? So I propose to you today is to have and invite Jesus to be your first go-to. Have God be your first go-to. Rather than getting the perspective of human beings, get the perspective of the all-knowing God first and foremost. Jesus, this happened to me and it hurt my feelings, or this happened to me and I'm scared how this is going to turn out. What do you want me to do? Who do you want me to talk to that is wise, that has understanding, that is connected to you for discernment? Perhaps that's your big takeaway for today. Jesus says, come to me. Come to me. Come to me first, not last, first. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Then you're capable of loving your neighbor as yourself. I'll tell you this much. There is no way you cannot give out what you haven't experienced within. It is impossible to love your neighbor and the people in your life in a beautiful and meaningful way, consistently, without being connected to the love of God within you. If you want to up your ability to make positive and meaningful connections, you up your time with God so that you are filled with his presence. Bring what you have. What do you have? 2 fish, 5 loaves? Bring it. To sum up the 9 things, and if you have a pen, you can write these down, and or you can re-listen to this when you're in that position to do so, or just have high noticing and ask the Holy Spirit, what's for me? 9 things that Jesus tells us to do. 1, don't worry. 2, come to Jesus when you're burnt out, stressed out, and overwhelmed. 3, faith heals and leads to peace. 4, be merciful. 5, don't judge. Forgive, pray for those who are unkind to you, all under the same category. 6, give and you will be given to. 7, bring what you have and it will be multiplied. 8, trust God, trust Jesus, and surrender all. 9, that wraps them all up and fuels all of them, is remain, remain, remain. Remain in me and I will remain in you. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So, you want to worry less? Remain in Christ. Change your behavior to put him first over that which is causing you worry and anxiety. Come to Jesus when you're burnt out and stressed. Have faith that he desires to heal you and give you peace. Be merciful. If you're lacking in mercy, then do that one little coaching exercise. Write down all the names of the people you're still holding a grudge against, or there is some shred of lack of forgiveness or some shred of judgment in your heart. It hardens the heart. Ask the Holy Spirit to show you. Give me names, Holy Spirit, because I want to be free. Give me names. And then put it into that formula, that prayer, that powerful prayer. And it comes from the unbound work of being unbound by oppressions from spirits. The first step is forgiveness. Forgive everybody in your life that you have not forgiven. That's the first step. The second step is to get very specific on what's binding you. The first step is what we're camping on today. Who do you need to forgive? Who do you want to forgive for more freedom? And then put it into the prayer. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I forgive. Put in the name for this. Be very specific. And then invite the Holy Spirit to fill up what is lacking, or fill up what has been freed up as a result of the forgiveness with the presence of Christ within me. That's a very, very powerful tool and practice to use to make Galatians 5:1 a reality for you. It is for freedom that Christ has set you free. Stand firm and don't allow yourself, that means you have a choice point, don't allow yourself to be burdened by the yoke of slavery. Lack of forgiveness is one of the biggest yokes of slavery that Jesus died to free us from. He modeled it himself and he calls us to do that so that we can love our neighbor as ourselves. And as God allows us to, by being present within us. So that's a wrap for today. Again, our title is the verse from Mother Mary. She says so beautifully, do whatever he tells you. Let that sink in today. Do whatever he tells you. What's he telling you to do more of today? What is he telling you to do less of today? Listen closely. And then take action. Just as the people who were listening did, they filled up the jars and they took some of the wine out to the master of the banquet. And shazam, the miracle was declared. Jesus is still wanting to do that for us. So draw near, my friends, draw near to the lover of your soul. He desires to free you more today than yesterday. I didn't mention this in the beginning of the podcast. You can subscribe, believe it or not, on your mobile device. Just simply go to your podcast app and look for Edge God In and click subscribe. Then you will be notified when we put forth a new podcast. My co-host and I'm Lauren E. Miller. She's Dr. Stella Chavu. We alternate doing the podcasts, so you'll be able to see who's leading the podcasts at edgegodin.com, and you'll be able to keep up to date when we launch the new ones that are coming out at edgegodin.com, or subscribe directly to your podcast app, Edge God In. We also have at Edge God In, it's pretty cool. We put together one of my continued education programs, master's programs, was in adult education, human resources development, and Dr. Stella is in a similar field as well. And we put together a one sheet for you to capture your learnings. You can access the one sheet at edgegotin.com, and you can print that out, actually. It's highlighted under each podcast download Bible study template. Just click on that, or in the menu, you'll see Bible study and templates. You'll be able to access the one sheet too, that actually goes through 5 steps in adult education. This is a methodology of how to learn a new piece of information, bring it to heart, transfer it into your life, and then sustain it. And so it's very intentionally put together to do that. And it's just a one sheet you can use to use as a Bible study. Some people have actually used the Edge Guide in Bible study recordings to lead group Bible studies, along with the book that we have out there that is called Stop Letting the World Be the Boss of You. And that's giving you specific Bible study topics in that book, Stop Letting the World Be the Boss of You, taking back that power you give to the outside world. So enjoy your gift of life today. Enjoy doing what Jesus tells you to do. Holy Spirit, give us the grace to do what you tell us to do, more today than yesterday. Give us the grace to not worry, to forgive, to come to you when we're feeling burnt out, to be merciful. Give us the strength and the grace not to judge, to be able to remain in you always, to remain, and to bring whatever we have, even if it's just 2 fish and 5 loaves or less than that, help us to bring it to you and have you be our first go-to. Give us the grace to go to you first before anyone else. And therefore, when we're filled up with your love, we pray for the grace to give abundantly, to trust that you are our good God and that you are the God who provides. And we do pray for everyone who's been unkind to us in our lives. We pray for blessings upon them, Lord, because you ask us to. Help us to do what you ask us to do. In your most precious name we pray, in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. All right, give them heaven out there. There's enough of the other side going on. We look forward to our next podcast together, and enjoy the practice in Christ.